In this episode of the MATC podcast, we will talk about managing multiple accounts in Google Chrome. We will talk about the role of the EdTech coach, the importance of building relationship, being better together, John Hattie's work, using Feedly and RS feeds to curate resources like TweetDeck and Twitter, and the different ISTE PLNs available as part of being an ISTE member. So let's get started. Welcome to the Midwest Education Technology Communities Podcast, otherwise known as METC. METC is a nonprofit organization based out of St. Louis, Missouri, with a mission to motivate, engage, transform, and connect all learners to advocacy, partnerships, and professional learning opportunities. METC is a premier affiliate of ISTE. To learn more about METC, follow us on social media at METCEdPlus. You may also check out our website at METCEdPlus.org. METC is a program of Education Plus. To learn more about Education Plus, go to EdPlus.org. It is now time to begin our current episode. We thank you for listening and enjoy the learning. Hello there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the METC podcast. My name is Jonathan Lee, and I am your host. You can catch me on Twitter at JLeeTechPercent. We have another great episode for you today, so I'm glad that you chose METC for your Anytime PD. I greatly appreciate that. We will be talking about managing multiple accounts in your Google Chrome browser in our Tech in 60. Just a reminder, or in case you didn't know, METC has a YouTube channel. It's called the Midwest EdTech Community Channel. You can search for that in YouTube, find us, subscribe to us, and catch all of these episodes from podcasts to Tech in 60s all right there on YouTube. Definitely worth checking out. Again, search METC or search Midwest EdTech Community and you will find us there and subscribe. In the main content of this episode, I talked to Greg Gilmore. He is an EdTech coach on the Kansas City side of the state in a district called Fort Osage. And we talk about the different resources out there available to help EdTech coaches and really the role of the EdTech coach and how it has evolved over the last few years. We throw out a lot of resources. All of those are available on our show notes page. You can find that at METCEdPlus.org. Connect with Greg on Twitter and reach out to him if you have any additional questions about ISTE and the PLNs available through ISTE. We will close listening to how he is living METC's mission of motivate, engage, transform, and connect. So we're excited to hear his thoughts on those. And today's challenge, so the challenge for this particular episode, is what resources are you using to stay on top of your ed tech game? So we know there's tons of resources out there available. The last Tech in 60 was about Wakelet, a way to curate resources. We know Twitter's out there. We know Facebook and LinkedIn, all of those resources are out there. Which ones are you using that you use most of the time, if not some of the time, to help stay on top of the game in ed tech? Share out using the hashtag METC podcast, and you can also head over to the Flipgrid channel, search METC podcast, and leave a response there. Responses and tweets will be on a future episode, so please take some time to tweet out what resources you are using to stay on top of your EdTech game. Okay, so let's get on into the episode. First up is this episode's Tech in 60. Enjoy. All right, welcome to the Tech in 60 segment of the METC podcast. These segments can all be found on the Midwest EdTech Community's YouTube channel. Just search Midwest EdTech Community and it will pop up for you. Subscribe there, catch all the new releases coming out every Friday. So in this episode of the podcast, we're going to take a look at the most recent release, episode 75, where we talk about managing your Google accounts. And so I have a few Google accounts. They're free, right? So you might as well have more than one. Doesn't cost you anything. So I have my personal one, and I have a couple work profiles, and then I've also got a Google Trainer account, so that's got its own as well. So I've got a few. Now, managing the content for each profile can get a little hairy or scary or any other word that ends like that. So the best practices would be that when you click on your Chrome browser, you have the option to make sure you are logged into that browser itself, almost like you logging in to your PC or your Mac if you happen to do that for your the way you have it set up. So in the upper right-hand corner, next to the three dots, you have an icon. It's either going to be a picture if you've added a picture to your profile, or it's your initial because that's what's there by standard. You can click on that icon, and then at the bottom, you see Manage People. And so when you have a device that is yours, so I'm not talking about shared devices, so if you happen to use a computer that other colleagues use or students have access to, I would not use this feature. I would use the incognito mode to log into accounts temporarily. But when you're dealing with your machine and you're bouncing around from account to account, I would choose the Manage People icon underneath your accounts. So that way you can add all of your accounts there. When you're ready to bounce from, say, my personal account to my work account, and I want to bookmark something for work, I'm in my work account, and that bookmark goes to my work profile. It does not go to my personal profile. If I have an extension, I have different extensions that I use at work than I do at home. So I want to make sure those extensions show up when I'm in the appropriate place. And so by managing people and using your profiles there, that will take place. Same thing for passwords. They get logged to that account, and that way you can sync across appropriate profiles. The old-fashioned way, or the way you may be doing it, I do it every once in a while. I try to avoid it, but underneath, within the tab itself, so let's say if you're in your Drive, to the far right-hand corner, you may see your school's logo, and then you're also your picture or your letter there. That is logged in as that tab. And so some folks I've seen have three different Drive tabs, and they're all three different accounts. That can get quite confusing whether you change your picture or your letter or not, but it doesn't change from the fact that if you find a bookmark that you want to bookmark, it's going to revert to whatever account you're logged into Chrome with. So just keep that in mind. Same thing with passwords. So best practices would be using the Manage People with the actual browser. So check that out, give it a try, see if you can best practice your way through using Google Chrome. Hello there, everyone. Welcome to the featured content of the MBTC podcast. I'm here with another special guest named Gregory Gilmore. And Gregory is over in Fort Osage School District in the Independence, Missouri area. He is a graduate of UCM and Mizzou. Go Tigers. 21 years in education. Spent some time in vocal music for 7 years, 6th to 12th grade. General music, 5th and 6th grade. 6 years, and elementary librarian for 3 years, and he's been a tech coach for the last 5 years. He joined the EdTech Coaches and Leadership Team in May of 2015 and served as the PLN president during the 17-18 school year. He manages the PLN Twitter account, annual PLN book studies, planning ISTE's conference events, and he has presented at ISTE, METC, Iowa 101 conference, MoreNets. So a lot of those around here that you may be familiar with. He's also ISTE Professional Learning Series webinars. He's done some of those as well. So welcome to the show there, Gregory.
Thank you.
You prefer Gregory or Greg? Does it matter?
Either one. Greg's fine. We'll keep it conversational.
Fair enough. So welcome, and I'm glad you're here. And so I've known Gregory for a while, and just through the PLN. We've done some connections back and forth through the ISTE stuff, and there's a lot of work on their playground and their meetup that they do it every year. So it's always a lot of fun. And ISTE every year we go. So I'm glad to sit down and talk to you, man.
Excellent. Good opportunity.
So our topic today is building an EdTech Coach PLN. We know that EdTech coaches are, I don't say rare, but we're not many of us yet. And so we're usually out on an island. And so that PLN is very helpful and beneficial. And so Greg, I keep wanting to call you Gregory.
Either way,
Greg is going to talk to us about how you can benefit from building a PLN and kind of going from there. So let's start with just a coach in general. You've been a coach for 5 years. Why do you think a coach or a tech coach is important in education?
Well, I mean, we're all in the business of learning. And so oftentimes we get so busy doing our jobs that we neglect getting better at that. Or we always think, okay, that's something I'm going to do eventually. And things always come in. And so it's nice to have someone to partner with you and come alongside you and maybe just remind you that, hey, here's some areas that you know we can work on. Or finding those areas, listening, doing some reflecting, or finding resources. Because, again, you're so busy, especially teachers, and have full schedules that you know, someone to find some resources, suggest some connections to help fill in some gaps, maybe come in and do some monitoring, some data collection, some co-teaching. And there's multiple things that coaching, the great thing about coaching is that it's so flexible and it is individualized. It is personalized learning for adults. We're able to give teachers what they need when they need it. And that's a pretty valuable source of information and help, because it may not, teachers may not always get what they need, you know, from PD day to PD day. Those planned PD days may not be meeting their needs.
Yeah, I hear you. I think we've had this conversation a lot. So I work half time with METC, but the other half I work on the Regional Professional Development Center, the RPDC side. And we do a lot of conversations around coaching, and the state's making a big push for coaching as in general. And a lot of our conversation is around, how do we help educators see the importance of having a coach? Because whenever someone comes in a classroom, teachers, for whatever reason, I wouldn't say everybody, but for whatever reason, a lot of teachers seem to think that, oh, they're here to observe me or evaluate me. And that's not the case in the way of coaching, right? When you go into a classroom as a tech coach, what's your main goal?
My main goal is really to help the teacher figure out what their goals are. And then let's identify what's the gap between the current reality and where you want to be. And then figure out, okay, how do we fill that gap? What do you need? What support do you need from me? Or maybe it's just a matter of, you know what you need to do, or you know the resources. It's just a matter of getting some support. And sometimes it's just the accountability piece of, you know, you've got someone who you know that, okay, I'm going to come in on Tuesday and look and see what progress you've made. Sometimes that helps people kind of get over the hump of that as well. And different people need different things, obviously. And so when I walk into a room, what I'm mainly looking at is really the kids. And so, but it's hard for teachers to kind of get over that. And so it takes some time as a coach, you know, building relationships of trust versus, you know, kind of a gotcha type thing, or, you know, evaluations. But building a culture of trust and building a culture of support and partnering with teachers, it takes time. It takes some time to establish those relationships and that culture, because, again, giving teachers what they need, you know, sometimes they don't even realize what they need in certain settings. And so it takes some trust more than others.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing when you say, when you go through that answer is, I mean, a lot of folks think, because I do a lot of work with the ESE certification program now, and a lot of our cohorts have included a lot of tech coaches.
Yeah.
And they have to complete a portfolio with artifacts, and they connect it to student standards, and a lot of the issues are what makes it hard for those folks is that, well, I don't teach kids anymore, I teach adults.
Yeah.
But everything you just said sounds exactly like what a teacher goes through teaching their kids. They have to build that culture. They have to build that relationship with the students. Every student is on different planes. They have different needs. So you're doing the same thing, but yet your kids are teachers.
Yeah. Right? And so, yeah, when I'm sitting in at conferences and people are talking about, you know, what they're doing with their students, and, you know, how they're facilitating learning in their classroom, obviously that doesn't directly apply to me, but I'm thinking, okay, how can I modify this to work with adults? How can I use the same concepts to go there? And the neat thing about coaching and setting up this atmosphere of individualized learning is that teachers can then experience individualized learning as a student and then take that into their classroom and facilitate that as a teacher with a better understanding of what it's like on the other side of that equation.
Absolutely.
If you don't understand individualized and personalized learning as a student, it's hard to set that up as a teacher.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I always relate it back to sports because I played a little bit in high school and, you know, I got the opportunity to go to the PGA Championship here in St. Louis last summer, and I got to go to the practice rounds. And these guys are making millions of dollars and the best of their craft, right?
Yeah.
And at the practice round, they're surrounded by 3-4 coaches.
Yeah.
So those pros that are making a lot more money than we will ever see as educators are being coached every step of the way.
Yeah.
And every time you hear an interview, you hear them, they ask them questions directly to the player and they always answer, "We." I'm like, who's this we? You're the one hitting all the shots. But they have that relationship and that culture. And that's something that I think we are trying to work on as educators. And I think we're doing a pretty good job. I know I've over the last 3 years of being as a coach around the state, I've gotten a lot better feedback on educators allowing us in the rooms and all of that work there. So we're coming. It's just taking a little time to get used to, right?
Yeah. It's not a sign of weakness. And so it just takes some realization of exactly what a coach is. And I mean, coming from a culture of, like you said, if there's an adult in my room, they must be here to evaluate me.
Yeah.
Which may have been true at one time, but as things shift and it does take some time.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of it is that we've, as educators, realized that the principal can't do it all. Right. I mean, so back in the day, the only person that did come in the room was the principal and they probably were in there to evaluate. But now there's so many other coaches, whether it's tech coach or ELA coach or math coach or whatever, there's so much other support and it's not evaluative. It's to help grow the educator, to help the students. Right.
And then the principals also need to realize the coach's role as well. Yes. So that they're not, you know, pumping the coach for information that isn't, you know, that's privilege information per se, you know, because there is some client, you know, coach confidentiality. I mean, you know, you've got to be able to keep that trust. And so administrators have to also realize that there's some things that stay within that coaching relationship and the limitations of the coaching relationship. And then the administrators also have to be able to let go of some of that instructional leadership and delegate that to the coaches and trust them with it.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. That I do remember back being assistant principal that the principal will pull me in and say, "Okay, so you've been in this classroom quite a bit. What did you observe and what did you see?" I said, "Well, but I don't want to take my observations and put it into your report for their evaluation because that wasn't the purpose." And when I go into those rooms, I tell them that I'm not here to evaluate you, but if I give what I saw to you, then technically I was. And so, yeah, that's a good point that you have. So administrators out there, you listening, keep that in mind, please. If you don't like that, Greg's contact information is on the show. Yeah. No, I'm just teasing. So you've been a tech coach for 5 years, and we talked about how the culture and the overall feeling of getting used to a coach in the room has changed. Have you noticed that change in those 5 years, in the last couple of years? Or
in my building, I've had, but I've worked pretty hard at building relationships and building a culture of coaching so that I can go into rooms and teachers are comfortable contacting me when they need me. Because, you know, unless they contact me many times, I don't know what the needs are. And so we've been building that culture. I've also been trying to build a culture where teachers can spend some time in each other's rooms for some peer coaching and some peer support, because I'm not an ELA content expert or a math content expert, but there's multiple people in the building who are. And if they're not talking to each other, then they're missing out an important piece of their collaborative, you know, potential. And so I've had some success with that, but I also have had support from my instructional facilitator in the building, from administration in the building, from the teacher leaders in the building. I mean, it's obviously one person cannot shift a culture. And so, you know, we spent some time over the last 5 years really getting people talking to each other, but not only me. And so I think that's even a bigger picture of success there, is that even when I'm not present, they're coaching each other and they're talking the nitty gritty details of math, where, you know, and if they need some tech help and something like that, I can plug into that, where my limitation, you know, I'm not trying to stretch my or go into where I'm not strong.
That whole it takes a village kind of thing.
Yeah, it really does. And yeah. You know, we ask students to collaborate, and so as you know, professionals, we should expect the same of ourselves.
So I could tell that you're in Fort Osage for the last 5 years, right? And my work, I work with Missouri Model District. That's the initiative coming out of Missouri. Uh-huh. And I know you guys are a part of that, and you guys were collaborative work behind that. And so I will say I'm pretty proud that you are exhibiting a lot of the tenets of those grants. You've been talking about collaborative teams, the importance uh-huh. of building together. You've been talking about when you say you go into a classroom, you say, I want to determine where they are and what their goal is and the reality and how we close that gap. It's right up the assessment capable learners. So you're embedding all of those great things right into your job. That's so awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. About 3 years ago, we really tried to like reboot our PLC. Yeah. We'd been doing some of the stuff and using some of the words, but really weren't committed to it. And so, yeah, we're making that shift from PLC to Missouri Model Districts. And there's really not a big shift. And so it just, you know, the terminology changes. And I mean, that's education. And so, but we know what the right task is. We know where the work is. That, you know, the best work is, and so we're just continuing to kind of turn the corner to Missouri Model and keep up our teams. And, you know, we certainly don't want to lose the momentum that we've established with PLC work.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of similarities in it, and just really exchanging out letters, you know, instead of a PLC, you got MMD. So just, yeah. You know, you got to spread the alphabet letters out a little bit. So everybody gets their fair shake. Yeah. So I'm assuming that you're in your big district, you are probably like a team of tech coaches.
Yes, there's currently three other coaches. One is retiring at the end of this year, and so we're doing a little bit of reshuffling, reassignment. So I'll be in different buildings next year, but I'll still be tech coaching. Yeah.
Okay. Well, for how many teachers are in your district?
We've got about 5,000 kids K-12, so we're looking at like 300 teachers. Okay.
So three or four coaches for 300 teachers. That's not very much coverage there.
No, it's not very much coverage, but I talk to coaches. We talk to coaches at ISTE every year who have a lot bigger pools and, you know, larger districts, more buildings. And so obviously right now with being in one building all day, every day, I'm coaching very differently than I will be next year when I'll be working with three buildings.
Yeah. And so where I was going with that, not necessarily that you need more coaches, but, you know, in relatively speaking, there's not many of you there. And for in your building, you're really by yourself. So unless you have that time built in to collaborate with your peers, you know, you're kind of on your own little island, or you're a unicorn per se, you know. And so how do you help make sure that you continue to grow? So we talked about your ability to help make teachers grow or help teachers grow. How do you make sure you are staying up on the times and you are being the best coach that you can be?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And yeah, as you said, as a coach being responsible for professional development, you're also responsible for your own professional development. And that's something that you can neglect as well. And so of course you've got kind of the traditional models of, you know, the books and blogs, things like that. If you're just getting into that, I would suggest like Feedly or an RSS aggregate or something that's going to curate the information for you. Say if you follow 20 blogs, so you're not visiting every one of those 20 blogs every day, that it's bringing stuff to you. So think smarter through that, because you're not going to have a bunch of time, but yet you certainly want to maintain that. I mean, that content knowledge, professional growth is even one of the current ISTE coaching standards. I mean, it's important enough that it made, you know, the international standards. The books are great for the kind of timeless information that's not so time sensitive. Blogs are great for up-to-date information, especially the tech tools and things like that, that are, you know, that by the time it reached print, it might be out of date. And then Twitter, of course, is a great thing, but again, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant, and that you have to curate it. And so, you know, if you're new to Twitter or you're kind of frustrated with Twitter or something, set up a tweet deck and, you know, pick some hashtags, follow some people, make a list of, you know, 10, 20 people, and just narrow it down. find what you're looking for, filter out everything else. Not that, you know, there's other stuff. You're going to miss stuff, obviously, but at least hone in on something that you can, you know, in a few minutes each day can go through and search through some things, you know, skim titles or whatever. And then beyond that, I mean, human resources, people, other coaches, build some reciprocal coaching relationships with other coaches in similar settings so that you can coach them, they can coach you. I'm fortunate to have an instructional coach in this building. And even though she's not tech focused, we can coach each other. I mean, instruction's instruction. And so, and education is education and culture is culture. And so there's a lot of things that we can support each other. We meet weekly. I can also meet with the other tech coaches in my district. But yeah, building a PLN of other practicing coaches is critical because you don't, you know, I don't have a PLC team of coaches and things like that. So I really have to pull that out. And, you know, if we're expecting our teachers to collaborate, then we also need to demonstrate that. It just might look a little bit different because we have to reach out a little bit further than across the hall or, you know, to the next building in the district, things like that. Conference attendance is still important. And I realize that conferences are shifting. They're not quite what they were 10 years ago, but, you know, it's important to build in-person relationships so that, you know, say your conference in February, well, what if you need some coaching or some ideas in October? You can't wait until February. And so it's, you know, tap onto those, lean on those relationships that you build at those conferences. And it gives you some dedicated time as a coach when the phone's not ringing or people's not, aren't walking into your office, or you don't have meetings. It gives you a couple days to really focus on your learning, to think, to talk to other people, to you know, think out loud, reflect. And it just gets you kind of away out of, you know, it's just a different setting. Things are different. When you, you know, you step out of your setting, you hear things differently, you see things differently, and you hear different perspectives. And, you know, obviously it's not just one of these approaches. It's a multiple tiered kind of attack at where is the information, who has the information, who is the information, and then building those relationships, building those networks and using those as needed throughout the year. Yeah.
Yeah, so you covered a lot of things that I wanted to comment on, and I was going to interrupt you, but you were going so well. So I'll see if I can go back to it. So you talked about Curate a couple times, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mentioned the ISTE certification process, and I'm a trainer for that, and we do that a lot. We talk a lot about curation within that. So I'd like to hear you talk about the importance of curating your feeds, curating information, because, yes, there is a lot out there, and so it's good to get – those resources that already are taking care of that curation for you, because you want to make sure you read accurate information or information that is actually good and relevant to you. And so I like that you brought that up. And then the idea of building that PLN of coaches, not only just in your building district, but also outside. And I do another podcast called the EdTech Pod Squad, and it is four other EdTech coaches around the state of Missouri. And we talk about how, when we go to conferences, it's not as much as going to sessions at conferences. It is really meeting up with that PLN that we only talk through, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And we actually get to see each other in person and start collaborating and can have that coaching bonding time at conferences, you know? So it's so much fun, so different. And not to say that we don't learn at conferences, but I will say there are a lot of sessions that, oh yeah, I can do this, or, when I'm going to a session, like you said earlier, I go in, okay, how do I kind of adapt this to what I need, or how can I maybe tweak this and bring it back to my audience where I'm at too. So, but I like that. And then, like you said, that it's not one thing. You're going to have a multitude of approaches to kind of really help yourself grow. So you can also be, you know, walking the walk while you talk to your teachers. You know, my job is to help you grow, but I'm not going to grow. Well, no. We need to that doesn't really work that way, right?
No.
So on all of that, what you didn't say, I didn't hear the three letters ISTE. So how can ISTE help support you? Or how do you as an ISTE PLN coordinator, what was that title?
It's part of the leadership team, leader, yeah.
Yeah, part of the leadership team. How, if I'm an EdTech coach and I go to the ISTE conference every year, this year's in Philadelphia, I'm really excited. I'll be there presenting twice. And how can I look to ISTE to help me with some of the things we just talked about? Maybe whether it's reading books or finding blogs or podcasts or something like that. What kind of resources does ISTE have available?
Probably one of the most valuable resources that coaches tell us, you know, when we talk to coaches at our playground, at the meetings and things like that, is the PLN itself. And of course, you can build your own PLN, and you should, you know, people that you meet and things like that. But that takes some time, and takes, you know, some time to build those relationships. And every year at ISTE, we talk to people that tell us, hey, I was just hired as a coach last week, and the first thing they did is send me here to ISTE, which is totally overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know, as your first, you know, learning experience as a brand new tech coach, and they send you to a conference with, you know, 16,000-18,000 additional people. And so the great advantage of the ISTE EdTech Coaches PLN is that it's a pre-created PLN and it is actively led. So it's not, you know, organic, or it's not just kind of, oh, I hope this works out. There's an active leadership team. It is supported by ISTE. They give us, you know, website with the discussion boards and the support there at the events. They facilitate the book studies as far as giving us, you know, a digital copy of the book to give to our members, which is a huge benefit that, you know, you don't have to buy the book. You know, you can get a download copy of the book and that comes with your membership fees, and then it's not technically free, but it is included in your membership. It's not like an additional fee with that. But beyond our discussion board, which is it's a great resource, and that when you post something to our discussion board, it goes out in the email digest the next morning to like the 4,800 plus coaches in that network. And so you get to send an email basically to 4,800 people and ask a question, which is a pretty powerful thing. But we also have our Twitter hashtag, the ET Coaches, that we use for everything, for our monthly Twitter chats, for our book study in like January, February, and just daily conversation. You know, post something, hashtag it ET Coaches, put that ET Coaches in your tweet deck as a column in your tweet deck, and then you can just follow and keep track of what we're doing as a PLN and keep track of what other members are doing, you know, within the PLN. We also send out a monthly newsletter that gives reminders of events and things like that. And then we also host some ISTE conference activities. So this year, look for a membership meeting, which is going to be, we kind of frame that around networking and getting to know each other and sharing some tips and sharing some ideas, sharing some strategies. And then our playground will be Tuesday. And then we'll have a social event either Monday or Tuesday evening. ISTE's doing it a little bit differently because in the previous years, we've hosted our own kind of independent PLN social event. This year, ISTE's hosting two social events, and they're going to put half the PLNs on Monday night and half the PLNs on Tuesday night. And so that's kind of, that's good for us that we don't have to find a venue, we don't have to find a caterer, we don't have to work out all those details. It's also good for our membership, because if you're in multiple PLNs, you can participate and you can visit with multiple PLN leadership teams or members from multiple PLNs in one spot. They'll probably have it like in a ballroom or a large conference room or something like that. So we'll try that out this year and hopefully it works. I'm looking forward to that format. But as you said, there's also books that ISTE publishes. They put out webinars that are hosted by PLN leaders. The EdTech coaches have hosted a few of those in the past, but there's also hosted by other PLN leaders. And then ISTE also hosts about 24, 25 PLNs of various interests. Some of those are like, you know, for administrators, like job title type things. Some of them are, you know, like mobile learning that anybody can join. And so it's as easy as going into your ISTE account, finding the membership section and checking the boxes next to the PLNs you want to join. It's very simple to get in there, and then they all have discussion boards and they all have events and they all have leadership teams that are facilitating the activities and the communications for those networks. So there's a lot going on there. ISTE is much more than just the conference at the end of June. I mean, that's what people see. That's the big thing that people see, and they're thinking, it's just a conference at the end of June and it's expensive and I have to give up, you know, 4 or 5 days of summer, and it doesn't always work, and those are a lot of logistics to go into. But we really try to make sure that the PLN is much more than just that week in June. because it's, you know, coaches need support and coaches need networking far beyond that 1 week.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always forget about that PLN discussion board. Actually, when we, so one of the assignments through the SC certification process is requesting information or resources from your PLN. And 98% of the people use Twitter. Yeah. But I think I've had one person actually post something on
the discussion board
on ISTE. I'm like, how smart is that? Because, yeah, you got Twitter. You may have 1,400 followers or whatever, and maybe gets retweeted. But
yeah,
most of the, like, the coaching PM, like you said, it's like 4,800 people. And it actively goes into my inbox. And so what a great idea and resource to reach out to. And so definitely one to keep an eye on. And, yeah, you said it's not free. But if you do get to go to the conference, your membership is built into your fee when you register. So you do get that year-long membership benefit. And so they definitely encourage, like you said, it's not just those 4 or 5 days, whatever, in June. You get to learn with ISTE all year long with the book studies, with the PLNs. And so it's definitely something you want to tap into so that you get the biggest bang for your buck there.
Yeah, and even if you don't attend the conference, I mean, the membership – has value throughout the year. So you don't have to, don't think that, well, I can't go to the conference, so there's nothing else to do with ISTE. And I know the leadership of ISTE is trying to increase the value of the membership beyond just the yearly conference.
Absolutely. That's a good point. I do like the idea of, like you said, of how all the PLNs are going to kind of be together. It's going to be neat to see how that works, because I mean, I will like the idea. I liked the idea of it being at a restaurant or a venue. Last year was at a very historic church.
So yeah.
It was kind of cool. But I can only imagine how hard it is, because you have a very thin budget. Find a location at the right price and provide food. You guys do all those amazing things with what you have. So I think that will help you guys having it all in one spot. But then also to see that, yeah, we're tech coaches, but that can also bleed over to the library media PLN, or there's going to be a lot of bleed over.
Yes.
I think being all in the same room to be able to have those conversations will be a cool benefit.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, all right, we've kind of come to the end of our time here. What closing remarks around building a PLN, becoming a better tech coach, do you want to add to our show here?
We covered a lot of it. I say, you know, be responsible, be proactive with your own learning, and model learning for your staff. You know, that be the learner that you want your staff to be, because certainly your own personal, the culture of learning for your adults is never going to exceed your own personal culture of learning. And so, you know, walk the walk and do the things that you need to do to coach, you know, find your own coaching opportunities, or, you know, being coached, being supported. And with that, set aside time, you know, if you need to put it in your calendar, put it in your calendar, you know, protect that time. As I said, it's one of the ISTE coaching standards. So it's not like wasted time or auxiliary time or, well, when I get to it stuff, it's important. So if you need to schedule it, then schedule it in, and then, you know, diversify, maintain your PLN, keep it going. And as I said, just be proactive with it.
No, that's a good point. I didn't even think about mentioning that. Yeah, you definitely have to budget in that time. Don't be afraid to pull out your calendar and say Fridays between 1 and 3 or whatever it is me learning time.
Yeah.
Not always have to be Thursday night, 9 o'clock for Moed Chat, which is going to be coming out every week. So, but you definitely need some me time to kind of help yourself grow. So great points, Greg. I thank you for being on our podcast today and telling everybody about how to grow your PLN.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
No problem. All right. It is time for the I Am METC segment of the show, and I am sitting here again with Greg Gilmore. He just got done with an awesome conversation about growing your tech coach PLN, and he is going to share with us how he is actually living METC's mission. So Greg, you ready?
Sure.
All right. So M stands for motivates, and so what motivates you?
The main thing that motivates me is collaborating with other motivated people and just building kind of that momentum of motivation, because it's hard to be unmotivated around motivated people. So, you know, surrounding yourself in that atmosphere of motivation keeps me going, and you kind of recharge each other.
Awesome. E stands for engage. So how do you engage your students or your staff since you're a coach?
Well, as a coach, I mean, asking lots of questions, listening, but also encouraging teachers to engage with each other. You know, find the content experts, find the instructional experts in your building, and spend time in each other's classroom. You know, don't just engage with me, but engage, you know, beyond the coaching relationship.
T, transform. What is an area in which you have transformed or you helped others transform?
Well, as a team, because again, as we talked about in the earlier podcast, transforming culture isn't something you do by yourself. But the biggest transformation I've made is working to create a culture of coaching, or a coachable culture, where I feel comfortable and people feel comfortable coaching with me, or, you know, in that coaching relationship with me, but also where they feel comfortable with some peer coaching and visiting each other's classrooms and just that open door culture.
All right. Last one here is C, connect. Who are you connected with that others should connect with as well?
My primary connection, what I spend most of my time with, is of course the ISTE EdTech Coaches PLN, helping with that in the leadership, but also working with individual coaches and benefiting from them and getting the information that they have. I also shared the EdTech Coaches PLN book study participant list, which you probably put in your resources. That's a great list that we created during the book study back in January. So it's a relatively new list. So if you're looking for some people to follow, just simply go through, open that list, and it's very easy to read some descriptions and find some people with other things. And of course, the ET Coaches hashtag is a great place, resource to find things. And then your local ISTE affiliates, METC, NEDA has a great conference in Omaha, ITEC has a great conference in Des Moines. You know, it's as I said, it's a multi-tiered approach of online information, of people, of conferences, and lots of places to connect.
Very good. Yep, good point. The information that you have mentioned, resources you've shared both in the regular podcast and the featured content and in this segment, will be in the show notes at metcedplus.org. Greg, thank you very much for sharing how you are METC.
You're welcome.
Well, that brings another METC podcast to a close. I want to give a huge shout out to Gregory Gilmore from the Fort Osage School District. Thank you very much for spending your time. Day before spring break was when we recorded that, so I know he was itching to get that day over with and ready for his vacation. So thanks for spending some time with us and helping us understand the importance of a tech coach's growing their PLN. That was awesome. And so hopefully you were also able to get a little bit out of this episode's Tech in 60. Remember, those are available on the METC's YouTube channel. Just search for Midwest EdTech Community, and you will find our YouTube channel. All of the podcasts are actually there, and all the previous Tech in 60s are there as well. And then hopefully you also got a little bit out of how Greg is living METC's mission with the Motivate, Engage, Transform, and Connect. And all of those resources, as we mentioned at the end of that segment, are available on the website, metcedplus.org. You will see all the podcasts there, and you can find the show notes that we have built with these episodes there as well. So if you have not done so already, tell us what you thought of the episode. Tell us how you continue growing as a EdTech coach or as a teacher in general using the hashtag METC Podcast. I like to share those on future episodes, so please send those out. And again, use the hashtag METC Podcast. You can also check out our Flipgrid community. It is METC Podcast, so just search for that in your Flipgrid app or on the website, and you will find our community. We have a couple different topics within that community. Feel free to leave those, and I will pull that audio and put it on a future podcast as well. So thanks again, everyone. I greatly appreciate you choosing METC as your anytime PD podcast. I greatly appreciate it. If you would share those with others, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Remember, the mission of this podcast is to share the stories of the educators doing great, amazing things in our region, and so we would like to get their voices out there as much as possible. So share whenever possible. Greatly appreciate it. Until our next episode in a couple weeks, have a good one, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Midwest Education Technology Communities Podcast, otherwise known as METC. To learn more about METC, check out our website at METCEdPlus.org or follow us on social media at METCEdPlus. To learn more about Education Plus, go to edplus.org.